Welcome, 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 welcome. Oh my goodness gracious. It is once again a privilege, an honor, a treat to share this moment. Thank you for whatever brought us together in this now. Whether you were drawn here, whether it was court ordered, whether you had temporary paralysis during a previous Ustream show and you can't hit the next button, I don't care. It's magical and it's intentional. And I am grateful whether you're here live or in the archive. Either way, this energy, this drawn together amplification is, well, it's perfect. How could it be anything else? Today I wanted to talk about a question that is often asked me. Why pink? To which I usually say, oh, you mean the hair? My mood hair? Well, it changes color depending on what mood I'm in. It's gray if I'm depressed, you know. Sometimes, you know, if I'm around someone that really turns me on, it's pink. Why? What color is it now? Okay, now I've only used that line a couple times. To understand why pink, we have to go back over 10 years. I initially started to get obsessed with pink when I became really into Burning Man. Actually, the first time I really started making my own costumes and really thinking these elaborate, what do I want to be in, you know, if I could be anything, if I could be a superhero, what would that superhero look like? And it was a lot of pink, a lot of really bright flamboyancy, and a lot of it was about intentionally confronting the existing stereotypes of what masculine and feminine genders are. And that by embracing pink, I was kind of saying, yeah, you can't really judge this book by a cover. It's kind of crazy how a color can be so clearly designated to one gender or another. It's always funny when I interact with a kid who sees earrings and pink hair and is just like, everything I know about the world says you're a girl. Most kids grow out of that, but many do not. So many people go to some extremes of assumptions, which is, are you gay? I love getting asked that question, but I don't like to give a straight answer. Straight answer, get it? I like to generally say, depending on how aggressive the answer is, if they're really questioning, like, are you gay? Then I say, well, I don't like to categorize myself as gay or straight. I like to just consider myself sexy to the core. And I will sleep with whoever I feel a connection with, and that is a mutual connection. The truth is, 99% of the time, that is a female energy that gets me tingly inside. I can appreciate beauty in all genders, but the energy that gets me grrr is the feminine. But it's important for me to not answer instinctively, I'm not gay, you know, or no. Because when I was young, I was so afraid of being labeled gay that I was quick to say, no, what, no, no. And so in doing so, I was a part of that pressure that there is a correct answer to that question of your sexuality, that, you know, straight is normal and gay is deviant and worthy of teasing and all those things. And I look back at who I was as a kid and, well, first of all, I was so scared of being labeled gay that I would have said, done, worn anything to convince you otherwise. If a bunch of people were calling someone fag and I felt like if I didn't do so, it would call into question my sexuality, you would have bet that I would have chanted alongside them. And if somebody teased something I was wearing, I would probably take it off. I mean, somehow, the idea of being labeled gay was probably the worst thing that I could think of as a little kid. No one ever questioned that guy's sexuality, would they? Nah. So it's always an interesting thing for me when I'm encountering people that are confused or puzzled or angry by the pink, you know, angry by this flaunting of the rules or flaunting of something. And it's always really bizarre when I get somebody who's like often driving by, not to stereotype, but often in a truck, and they'll yell out, you know, faggot. And I have this instinct to be like, you know, if you had any idea what my sex life up till now in my life has been like, especially once I embraced pink, you would probably rethink your aggression towards this color and towards, you know, against your feminine side. Pink has been very good to me. And being okay with the multiple sides of gender has been, well, probably the best thing I've ever done for my sex life, that's for dang sure. And so initially, pink was what I did at Burning Man. That was when I tried on my Fantasyland identity, it was pink and furry and over the top and flamboyant. And then over a couple years, my first few years at Burning Man, I just kept going back to like, man, I just can't wait to Burning Man. I just am so much happier when I'm in this flamboyant state, you know. And someone just asked, well, why can't you do that year round? I was like, well, because. And then I started being much pinker on a year-round basis and much more publicly pink. And, you know, it became part of my year-round identity. Here's a picture of me at South by Southwest, emceeing an award ceremony, decked out in pink as much as I could at the time. And, you know, going to clubs, going out, that was very much just a part of who I was. And over the next... Actually, I had a brief period where I decided, okay, I'm going to cut my long hair off. Had less than a year of normalness and kind of freaked out. Did not enjoy at all being normal or not showing people immediately, I'm different! I'm different! And so then I dyed my hair pink, and it's been that way for close to 7 years. And it's interesting because a lot of people will see my appearance and go and think of it as evidence that I'm this, you know, outgoing, bold, social guy. And the truth is, it's really a defense mechanism. It's a crutch because the pink hair has become a moat for me, which means that it is repelling of people that are not open to new things and people outside the box. And it invites people in that are open-minded and curious and, you know, definitely would have no conflict with me. So it saves me the potential of any sort of rejection. So I'm able to continue being shy and people filter into me. It's like a walking conversation piece, the full-time icebreaker atop my head. Now, over years and years of doing that, I've... Two years ago, I realized how much it had become a crutch and how much it had become my identity. This thing that began as like an accent to who I was had become a mask of who I was. Not full time, not all the time, but it had these elements where I suddenly felt like if I took off, you know, who would I be without the hair? And so New Year's Eve 2 years ago, actually Lakia's in the chat room, she was one of the ones that said, you know, let's do it, cut it right now. And so that night, it was a solstice night right before the new year. I decided I wanted to start the new year without this visual aid. And that was really powerful because it allowed me to reclaim pink as a tool instead of a crutch. It allowed it to go from being a mask to a cape. I could use pink instead of it using me. And something really magical happened. I started to get more and more in touch with my deeper self because it's kind of like sometimes you have to turn off the porch light so you can see the stars. And when I'm full brightness all the time, it's hard to see anything but this flamboyant, you know, over-the-top character. There were a lot of people that once I cut my hair started kind of reading things that I was writing and was like, oh, wow, you're nothing like what I thought. I think they meant that in a good way, but you never know. Now, even without the pink hair, pink is still a critical part of my philosophy, and that's for a few reasons. First off, pink has all the warmth and love and affectionate associations without any of the aggression as red. And so it has this perfect kind of connection with hugging. So very early it became the symbolic color of Hug Nation. It became our kind of theme color. And then at one point I was having a conversation with my grandpa about pink. We were all dressed up on Halloween. He was in pink wings and pink sunglasses, and I was dressed in pink, and we were just bright. And he was just talking about how important it is to embrace color. There's actually a line that I use at the end of almost every video that says, "You only live once, enjoy the color." And that's from this conversation about pink, and where we talked about the importance of just living vibrantly. And we also said, you know what? The other cool thing about pink is we're all pink on the inside. And I've always liked that as this unifier. Regardless of how you want to label the gender of the color, if when you wear it, the truth is we're all pink on the inside. And just last week, I learned of a whole nother amazing element of the color pink. Did you know that there is no such thing as pink light? Huh? Look at a color wheel. A color wheel goes from red, orange, yellow, green, blue, violet. On the one side of red is infrared, on the other side of violet is ultraviolet. Where's pink? Pink is actually a little bit of red and a little bit of violet. In terms of light, it's actually the absence of green. It's white light minus green. But in the color wheel, it's actually in that spectrum between the two, ultraviolet and infrared. It's actually in the band that contains all the other waves in the universe. Gamma, microwave, all of these unseeable things in the universe could technically be symbolized by pink. Did I just blow your mind? Suddenly, it's not such a sissy color, is it? So, I continue to find peace and joy in pink. It is such a festive color. It is such a, you know, there's no wallflowering when you are in pink. And I think that's one of the reasons why people have such a hard time with it. It's just the very act of wearing pink is standing up. It's being one of the flowers that pops up from the flower bed. And for me and for others, it's that kind of forcing yourself to be more active in the world versus being passive. Now, I bring a lot of this up because I realize that it's about that time for me to cut the pink off again, to once again dim the porch light and allow the stars to shine a little bit, go a little bit more inward. And there was actually a specific reason that made me think of this. I've been thinking more about being the change you want to be in the world and what that means on a very personal, very specific, moment-by-moment basis. And I realized that a lot of what that means to me is the way that I interact with people, strangers. And what I want to do more of, and what I'm trying to do more of, is look more people in the eye, smile at more people, and allow the statement that I give to be less about, I'm crazy and I'm flamboyant, and more about, I love you, in the eyes and in the smile, and namaste. And I realized that it's a little bit more aggressive to stare someone in the eyes when you have a pink mohawk. Some people love it, but that's putting a lot onto someone's plate to receive this outside the box kind of energy. And so I want to kind of tone down, be a little bit more soothing in my presence so that the eyes and smile can do the speaking and not all of this. Truthfully, it scares me. I like the moat. I like everyone knowing before I say a word that, ooh, he's a different. It saves me fear. It saves me insecurity. It saves me risk. But in the end, it is the path towards connection, towards humility, that will, I think, increase my own path. It is what I'd like to see more of in the world, so it is what I have to ask of myself. So, get a good look. It's time to tone it down while turning it up. I will be pink again. You know, we live in a dualistic world. You cannot have pleasure without pain. You cannot have night without day. You cannot have seasons without their counterparts. If you live in pure bliss, you will be bored eventually because you will have nothing to compare it to. In fact, this table is only hard because I compare it to something soft. Everything in the universe is actually only exists if you compare it to something. Otherwise, it is simply one thing. And so, at times, it is important to shift so that you can once again appreciate. Absence makes the heart grow fonder, they say. I suppose that applies to hair color as well. This will be the third time, if I go through with it, of shaving off the pink again. And both the previous times have been incredibly powerful spiritual exercises for me as I tune inward, as it helps me to focus away from the external. You know, it's hard not to get caught up in vanity issues when, you know, you're peacocking 24/7. It's a neat variation to get out of bed and know that my hair is short, sheer, and no need to comb. I can just not even look in a mirror and start my day. Depending on if there's people around, I might put on pants, I might brush my teeth, but at least I don't need a mirror to do those things. And, you know, it's funny, these comments about, oh, no, I'm going to miss the pink. The first time that I was considering cutting my hair off, I got really psyched out by that feeling like, oh, my gosh, I've created this identity, and it's what people expect of me, friends, everyone. And I have a brand. I mean, my company name is Royal Pink Productions. My RV is pink. So, you know, who am I if I'm not pink? And so it's an important thing for me to go back to that and say, no. The pink is not who I am. The pink is just a beautiful flower that I stick in my lapel to add a little color and light to who I am. And so this is part of that process for me. Pirate, he says, totally understand what you are saying about not being able to be a wallflower in pink. Just over a year ago, I put in crazy pink dreads, and it has helped me so much with the stress I used to feel about fitting in. Before I ever discovered Burning Man, I used to love theme parties and dress-up parties because of that very thing. You cannot go to a costume party and be in a little Bo Peep outfit, you know, and just be like a wallflower, just be like, eh. Whatever. It's impossible. You're committed. And so I love anything that forces us to commit to being active in our lives. I think that's one of the huge struggles and tragedies of our cultures, that we get snapped into this expectation of being passive, passively consuming, passively receiving media. And anything that knocks us in the back of the head and gets us outside, gets us interacting with people so that we're having a real experience of the world, not a passive third-hand experience of the world, is important. And that's part of my recent shift, is that I spend a lot of time isolated in my house, and I want to get out more. And sometimes just knowing that I have to be really on to be out there in pink hair is enough to kind of keep my head down and just do what I need to do and not interact with people. I realized that I almost never get confrontation. Even when I had long hair, I mean, I would wear it in crazy braids and things, I almost never got confrontation. And most people that I knew that had similar wild appearances did, and had bouts of violence and were jumped and all sorts of crazy things. And I really believe that a part of my luck is not luck. It's that I recognize that to face the world in that place, you have to summon an energy and greet the energy that is given to the oddness with, and bounce it back in a wonderful, loving, yes, yes, I am proud of this, I am proud of this. And it either stuns people or smiles people or whatever, but it's, you don't let it knock you down. If I go out into the world as a flamboyant thing, but with hunched shoulders,
Then the energy, it invites coo, 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 coo.
And that's a scary place to be. I think you can tell, you probably know people that invite a certain amount of aggression towards them, or people that always get bullied for some reason. And being a visually outspoken person in the world kind of forces you to hold space and receive the energy, which is exhausting at times, and is one of the reasons why I'd spend a lot of time by myself and then psych up and do big events, festivals, that type of thing. So I want to shift that a little bit and try to be a little bit more, instead of big peaks of energetic flow, to more frequent, ongoing, more equal and balanced flow of energy between me and other people. Talcor says, I so know what you went with. I was on TV with pink hair and thought if I got rid of the pink, people would not like me because I was known with having pink hair. Oh man, I've seen your pictures, by the way, and they are awesome. Rock on for showing that pink hair. What was the, do you care sharing what you were on? Have I ever been another color besides pink? I've never been anything but pink. I think one time I went to a costume party with light blue, and I was a submissive otter pop. But other than that, I've only been pink. Tal was on season 15 of The Amazing Race, so you can check out online and see this badass pink-haired adventure, which I was like surged in pride when I saw those screenshots. Towel, excellent. Can you give any advice on holding space? Ooh, that's a great one. Trelicious asked that. Well, I think a lot of it goes back to kind of a core way of seeing yourself in the world and seeing, and this goes, this is something that I have to remind myself of, and I just had a great talk with my brother about this, of seeing yourself as a gift to the world. It's true. I mean, you are a gift to the world. Everybody on this planet is a miracle and a gift to the world. And anybody that sees your light and is not joyously receiving of it is reflecting something in them. Especially if you are acting and carrying yourself in a place of peace, and you know, if you're muttering under your breath and kicking puppies, well, you know, clearly. Although it depends on what the puppy did. I'm not a dog lover, I'll have you know. But when you see yourself, I try to, there was a great, and I'll butcher his name, but Thich Nhat Hanh, is that how you say his name? I have a book here somewhere. Anyways, the word, oh yeah, Thich Nhat Hanh, the Vietnamese monk. He's just a beautiful spirit. And he was the one that inspired me the idea that you always have gifts to give as you go through the world. Your eyes and your smile are like flowers that you can give to everyone. And I think that visualizing that, you know, knowing that your eyes and your smile are these gifts that you can give to people, not as like overtly, just kind of like, you know, if that it allows you to then receive their energy without expectation, but with a recognition that, you know, this is a flower for you if you'd like it. The other thing that I start to get better at is recognizing the energy of people if people are looking for trouble. And then I don't look in their eyes, you know. People that are, and sometimes it's I make stereotypical and make assumptions. You know, a group of youthful kids, especially young boys that are in that prove myself and I'm not gay age period, I've been there, I know it, I don't want to give them a reason to prove it. You know, you don't want this group of boys to tease the most feminine one of the bunch. Oh, look at that guy, he looks like you. And then have him have to prove himself by kicking me in the stomach. So I try to kind of just steer clear or smile and you know, and kind of, if I have to, I'd rather just avoid that. And maybe that's something that in a less pink space, I'll have a better a better time connecting with. Ramona Renee says, and when we stay in the present, we can be pure love and energy and give it to others. Exactly. Everything else is a story. It's easy to get caught up in those, and that's why you have to practice and remind yourself. You want to see the top of my head?
That's it.
The reason why I was going to cut it live on the air today, but I so like the state it's in right now with the kind of the feathery kind of two-tone on the side. So yeah, I said, well, I'll keep it until I get a little sick of it. Next time I feel like I need to bleach it because the roots get a certain length and it doesn't behave anymore, that's when it's going to... Or maybe tonight. We'll see. There's a few hours till our happy hour, so I never know. But you got to admit, you know, a pink faux hawk is not universally acceptable. And I would like it to not be a moat any longer, at least during the next chapter. I would love to be received with a little bit more... I'd rather let the judgment come after I speak instead of before. And that's not always the way I feel. So let's have a glorious Hug Nation hug and embrace whatever we're vibrating at. Time for a pink hug. They're all pink hugs. All right, so grab yourselves by the shoulder. And this body, including the hair, including whatever makeup and clothes you coat this walking piece of art with, it is a shell that helps you get through the world. It is to be enjoyed, appreciated, and have gratitude for all the sensations it gives you, all the places it takes you, all the healing it does. But know that it is just a home for an energy that on its outside has a shell as well, a shell of personality, a shell of values that have been layered on over the years, taught to us by teachers and well-meaning parents and media with who knows what kind of intentions. And we get caught up into that personality, we believe it is what we are, and then we go out into the world and try to achieve our goals and encounter obstacles in the way of people, of laws, of values different from those that we've been given and accepted. But recognize that that battling, that clacking together of shells is just that, shells. And then what we are deeper than that is divine light, pure truth, pure love, and absolutely one with all the other individual cells on this planet, covered up with personalities and bodies. And that as we go through the world, we need to forgive ourselves from getting caught up in our stories, and also forgive everyone for getting caught up in theirs. And as we see them, as we see ourselves in these conflicts, try to take a step back and just recognize that on the level of the conflict, it is a game. On the level of truth, we are one. Let's take a deep breath and just feel the oneness between all the other shells on the planet. When we strip away those shells and we're just bright lights, billions of lights, so bright that we are just one glowing earth. Take a deep breath. On behalf of Grandpa Caleb and all the Love Warriors, happy Hug Nation. Thank you for being here, sharing this moment, allowing whatever color speaks to you to flow through your eyes and your heart and your words, as you are an ambassador for whatever your vibration is. And I appreciate you sharing that here and being a part of this, allowing this energy to swirl through us all and into the world. Small ripples, amplified by many pebbles, makes a big splash. But that is beyond our control. We are only concerned with our pebble and the purity of our path. So grateful for my path intersecting with yours. Thank you. Namaste.
You only live once. Enjoy the color.